This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Tisha Darland, Director of Crisis and Access Services for ComCare of Sedgwick County. Welcome to Issues 2019. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Now, we're a little late on this, but September was National Suicide Prevention Month, and that's what our issue is about today. And let's get some background to begin with. Tell us a little about ComCare. What is ComCare?
ComCare is the Community Mental Health Center, Steve, for Sedgwick County. All counties within the United States have a Community Mental Health Center, and ComCare is the name of ours here locally.
And so ComCare deals with a wide range of issues, is that correct?
We do. We provide mental health services for children, adults, anyone in our community. Primarily, we get tasked with serving the underinsured or uninsured, but we do also accept people that have private insurance.
How long have you been with ComCare?
I have been with ComCare in some capacity since 1999.
All right.
Yeah.
A long time then.
Yes.
Huh? Yeah. So where are you from? Where did you start out?
I started out working, I'm from Belle Plaine, Kansas.
From Belle Plaine, yeah.
Yes. But I started out working on our suicide prevention hotline part-time while I was going to school. When I graduated with my master's degree, I promoted to a clinician position there at the Crisis Center, and then just kind of continued to promote, worked there part-time or full-time since 1999.
Well, tell us about the Sedgwick County Suicide Prevention Coalition. What is that?
It's a great organization. It's a coalition. We have members from all areas of Sedgwick County. We have folks from Ascension, we have people from KU, we have people from the VA, we just have private citizens that have been impacted by suicide. So our goal with the coalition is to provide education with the hopes of reducing the suicide rate in our community.
How big a problem is suicide nationwide? Is it growing?
It is growing, and I hate to have to say that out loud, because even despite all of the efforts around the country, the numbers continue to grow. Here in Sedgwick County, we had 101 deaths by suicide in 2018, which is the highest it's ever been. And it's actually above the national average. The national average is 18.9 per 100,000, and Sedgwick County is 19.66.
But are you seeing trends, in other words, in certain areas? What's going on here?
You know, some of the things stay the same, at least in our community. Men continue to be the highest people that die by suicide. Guns continue to be the means that is the highest, at least in our area. But we're also seeing some changes. In 2018, in Sedgwick County, the highest deaths were between the ages of 35 to 54. But we also saw the biggest rate increase between those individuals aged 25 to 34. So that is not something that we're happy to talk about. We're also seeing more kids die by suicide.
At one time, I think when we spoke maybe a couple of years ago, there was a trend, it seemed, when the economy was bad, it seemed like it was older men. You remember that?
I do.
Has that changed at all? The economy gets better, people.
It has. We are, part of what we do at the Coalition is we partner with the coroner's office, and we have access. A few of us meet quarterly and review all of the autopsies and police reports related to each suicide death in Sedgwick County. And we're doing that in a concentrated way in an effort to try to figure out if we can find any trends or things that we can focus, that we could target in our community. And so one of the things that the 2018 report showed to us that the most common stressor noted in any of the reports were relationship problems. The second was illegal problems, and the third was job stress.
Wow. So you all have taken a lot of information. You're really digging into it then, huh?
We're trying. I mean, you know, there's, unfortunately, in our country and really worldwide, suicide has not been something that a lot of research dollars have been tasked to address. But I think that now people are understanding that it's a health crisis.
Yeah.
In our community and across the United States. So I think that we are getting more research dollars targeted in that area. But we're trying to do what we can here locally to look at our community.
So, Tisha, who's most likely to take his or her own life? Have you got a snapshot of one person there?
Yes, it would be a white male between the age of 35 to 54. Any probably someone that's experiencing either a relationship problem or some job stress, you know, in our community, which was surprising because this doesn't copy across the nation. We only 12% of the deaths were veterans, so that is not a national trend. Our veteran death rate is lower than the national trend.
Okay, well, I've heard that too, but. What about by occupations? Is there an occupation that sticks out?
We did not find any occupations that stuck out. We did find that people had a history. 50% of the deaths, someone had a history of some kind of mental illness. The other thing that was interesting that we had not discovered before was that there was a significant amount of people that had medical problems. So 53% had a chronic medical issue.
So they're looking at something that's potentially devastating physically. Looks like pain is ahead. Looks like maybe, how am I going to pay for that? I see the factors just kind of crowding in on you.
And
right?
You are actually touching on some that we saw in the reports. Without disclosing any, you know, very specific information, I remember reading statements in suicide notes about I don't want to leave this type of debt for my family. As far as the medical care, I don't want to use up your the money that I'm going to leave to you by spending that on medical care.
I'm not condoning suicide in any way, but that's a factor. I mean, you have to think about that if you go to that place in your life.
Right.
You're going to make some choices.
Right. And I think with our older population, you know, loneliness, depression, and you accompany that with medical issues.
Yeah.
Those are all contributing factors.
Tell me what the numbers are telling us about suicide and younger people.
Okay.
The teenagers or even up into their 20s, I guess. Huh?
So, like I said, we had the highest rate since we started gathering numbers. We had the highest increase in the 25 to 34-year-old range, which are not kids, but in my mind, a 25-year-old is still a kid.
It's a young person.
It is a young person. So I cannot find the numbers for the younger kids, but I will find that for
okay.
you here.
No, let's go into something else here. Tell me about efforts that are being made to educate younger people about suicide?
I think there's a lot of effort being put into that. ComCare has partnered with USD 259, also Mays District and Goddard District. So we're providing mental health care counselors and case managers in many schools around town. And so the effort in that area is to address problems as they arise, not allow them to get to a point where a child would see that suicide is the answer. Unfortunately, Steve, a lot of families struggle with making choices of, okay, we both need to work. We only have so much time in the evening. We've got to get homework done. We've got to do housework. We've got to get the kids ready for school the next day. I don't have time for them to go to a therapy appointment. And it's a reality. It's hard for families to make those kind of choices. So by implanting the services right there in the school, they can get those services during the school day. And it also normalizes it for the kids that aren't experiencing any kind of mental health issue. They can see that there's nothing embarrassing about going and talking to the counselor. It just becomes normal, like talking to your science teacher if you're struggling with science.
Yeah. Now, are teens and young adults influenced by the way media, I'm talking about TV and films that dramatize suicide? I mean, there's been some television dramas that dealing with it and so forth. Does that have an impact, you think?
There has been some research related to that. And surprisingly, what the research found is that, cell phones and media and Facebook and Twitter and all those things are not really contributing to the suicide increase. What we are seeing contribute to the suicide increase in kids is isolation and loneliness. So thinking about being on your cell phone, people from our generation think, well, that means that you're not with somebody, so you are isolated. You're sitting in your room on your cell phone. But again, going back to how busy families are, if my mom's not available to drive me to my friend's house and it's too far to walk, am I really isolated if I'm talking to that friend on the phone, whether it's verbally or through text or...
You're making a contact.
They're making contacts. Yeah. They're, creating friendships in that way. It's just different. It looks different than the way we made friends when we were kids.
For some people, for me, it's hard to realize that about the isolation. I was in a big family. I had tons of friends. I was socially active. But I can see where that's got to be a real source of depression if you feel isolated and lonely all the time. Huh?
Yes, I think that one of the national research areas that we're seeing is the research related to connectedness and how important it is to feel connected to something, whether that's your faith community, whether it's your family, whether it's friendships, whether it's having a purpose. But there needs to be people to have a satisfied feeling about their life. They need to have connection.
When you look at that research, does it tell the impact of faith? I mean, is it there or not there? You know what I'm saying?
And it depends on what you're reading. And who is writing it. But I think to summarize that the best that I can, I think that what we know about faith is that if faith is important to you, it's a very important factor, having that connection. But if you haven't grown up and that's not your lifestyle, you can receive that same level of connection through your friendship group or something else.
Okay. You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Entercom radio stations. And our guest is Tisha Darland, the Director of Crisis and Access Services for ComCare of Sedgwick County. So backing up just a little bit, what's the most common method used in American suicides, Tisha?
Still death by firearm.
Overwhelmingly. But I'm sure there are a couple more that are coming pretty heavy there on that.
Yes, firearm made in Sedgwick County, firearm, and this is kind of consistent across the United States. 61% of our cases in Sedgwick County were by firearm, followed by hanging or asphyxiation at 29%. 22%, I'm sorry, and then overdose at 9%.
Okay. Well, I've heard a lot about suicide by cop. A person, looks like some of these mass shootings, it looks like, These people are shooting people and then wanting a cop to kill them. Do you talk about that? Do you know anything about that?
It's not uncommon for people to have those thoughts. We experience people pretty frequently at our community crisis center that have that method in mind. I think it goes back to some of those contributing factors, such as faith or family, not wanting to die by suicide, not wanting to take their own life, but wanting their life to end. I think we're lucky in our community because our police and sheriff's department are fairly, you know, are very educated on mental health issues. So I think that's why we're not seeing any of that transpire here.
You give them high marks because what I'm seen is they're moving and they're getting better at it all the time. They're making improvements because they see the law enforcement people I talk to, they are seeing all kinds of mental issues out there.
Absolutely.
And having to deal with them. And then let me get on my soapbox. You know who else deals with mental issues that didn't used to? And that's teachers and educators.
I mean, absolutely.
We're calling on these people to do a lot more than just their regular job, right?
We are. And I would have to, you know, definitely give a shout out to Jeff Easter and Gordon Ramsey. I mean, they have been wonderful partners with ComCare and other mental health providers around our community to make sure that they're staying on top of the issues and being involved in solving the problem for our community. So, you know, I couldn't speak any higher of either one of them.
We've had both Sheriff Easter and Police Chief Ramsey on this program talking about exactly what you're talking about. So,
yes.
Yeah, you are correct.
We've come a long way in the last few years. I mean, at the beginning, we were fighting each other over whose problem is this. And we're all at the same table now knowing that this is our problem. This is our community.
We brushed on this a moment ago, but what role, if any, does social media play in suicide?
I think, you know, unfortunately, I think it's kind of a double-edged sword. I think in some ways, it can be a healing source for people that are struggling, for people to comment back and give them feedback in a positive way and try to lift them up. But then we also see lots of bullying taking place in our younger generation via social media. So I think it can be helpful, but it can also be incredibly hurtful.
That's my next question had the B word in bullying, and that's not just social media. That's one-to-one and what's not. What about bullying? I'm sure that has an impact on some of these.
It definitely has an impact. I think in some of our younger people's deaths by suicide over the last few years, that was a consistent factor. We get kids referred to us from the school system every day. We average probably 6 to 8 kids coming in per 24 hours with suicidal thoughts just from our community. And a common factor is bullying.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
Before we go any further, is there a suicide hotline?
Absolutely. We have a local number, which is 660-7500. And then we have the National Lifeline number, which is...
It's an 800 number.
It is an 800 number, and I should have it memorized, but I don't.
Yeah. All right. Well, just the local one's good enough for me, 660-7500. Let's talk about the warning signs, okay?
Yes.
What are we looking for? Warning signs from somebody who's close to us or someone we know?
I think a big thing to look for is change. So if a person is normally super outgoing, cheerful, positively focused, and you see a change in that, whether it's to anger or whether it's to sadness or whether it's just kind of shutting down, then we need to be asking some questions. But it's also the flip side of that. If you have a family member that's shy and quiet and keeps to themselves a lot, and that either increases or they start to be more outgoing and you see some strong, high emotions, that's a good time to ask questions too. I think the big thing to remember is that it doesn't hurt to ask. There's a common myth that if I ask someone if they're having suicidal thoughts, that I'm going to put that into their head if they weren't. And that's absolutely not true.
What about what role does drugs and or alcohol play in suicide?
Right. You know, alcohol and marijuana are both depressants. So if you're already struggling with depression and that's your coping skill to try to help yourself feel better, it's a temporary fix, but then it just increases the depression. It also, any kind of substance lowers our inhibitions and makes us act in ways that we wouldn't if we didn't have that substance on board. And so it's also a common thing when we do our autopsy review to see that people were under the influence of something. I think if I'm struggling and I'm on the fence about whether I'm going to kill myself or not, if I get super intoxicated or super high, I don't have all the reasoning and I may be more impulsive in that moment.
You know, I would imagine if the sound of my voice, almost everyone who's listening has had some pretty dark emotions and thoughts and feelings. How can we tell the difference between anxiety and depression and when we personally need to feel real serious about this?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. So you're right. We all have days that we are feeling down or anxious about something. When we need to be concerned about it with ourselves or with a family member or friend is if it goes on for several weeks and it's impacting all the areas of our life. So it's affecting our relationships. It's impacting our ability to go to school or work. It's impacting our ability to sleep. It's impacting our ability to get in the shower and drive to work. So if it's touching all of those areas of our life, and that's gone on for 2 to 3 weeks, we really need to reach out and talk to our doctor.
Tell us about the reaction of those who are close to people who take their own lives, folks who are left behind. I know that's quite a troubling story right there.
It is. Suicide is just such a complicated grief process. It leaves the loved ones, friends, family. It's just a ripple effect and leaves us with so many unanswered questions. What could I have done differently? Did I say something wrong? Could I have helped them if
guilt.
I had only known?
Guilt.
Lots of guilt.
Yeah. Okay.
Lots of guilt, lots of anger, lots of questioning. And all of that is very, very normal.
Okay. Well, if we know someone who seems to be on a path, what should we do?
I would encourage you to, first of all, to have a conversation with them. And that's easy. You know, it sounds hard, but it's really easy. And it can be as simple as, you know, I've noticed that you're not yourself lately. I'm worried about you. What's going on? Just that lead-in can lead to lots of things. If you're not getting anywhere or you're struggling because you don't know what to say once they say things, give our crisis center a call. The person doesn't have to be suicidal. You don't have to be calling. You could be calling about someone else. Just say, this is what's going on. What could we do? You can walk into our center 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you will meet with a clinician and, you know, talk it through. Get the help early on.
Do you think there are plenty of resources available for this? Have you got enough? Do you need some help?
We can always use help, Steve.
Who do we go to? More money, more this, more that.
More money. So I think what I will say is it's alarming to me as a leader in this community that our need is outgrowing, the demand is outgrowing our ability to meet that demand. We need more social workers. We need more case managers. We need more psychiatrists in our community. We need people to go to school and be trained for this, but we also need people to talk to their legislator. This is an important issue. When people are dying by suicide at a higher rate than they're dying by motor vehicle accident, that is alarming, and we need to address that as a community.
So what's your payoff? I know you just don't go in there and go to work so that every other Friday they give you a check. What motivation?
No, we're not getting rich in this world.
What's your motivation there, Tisha?
Well, you know, I have a personal story by suicide, too. My best friend, when we were seniors in high school, right after we graduated, took his own life. And ever since then, I have had a huge compassion for people that are struggling in that way. And that's why I do it. I hope that someday we can get that number down to zero.
Okay. Well, that's good enough motivation right there. Now, you're confident that though some of the people, the people you're working with on the coalition, that the community is, we've got the right people doing the right things and we're motivated as a community to deal with this, you think?
I think we are. I think who we need to have at the table that we're just now starting to get at the table are people that aren't involved in mental health or law enforcement. We need business people. We need bankers, we need lawyers, we need people that run a grocery store. This is a community issue. It doesn't just, and the mental health world and the law enforcement world are not going to be able to solve this alone.
All right. So if you're interested and you'd like to help out, just give them a call at CompCare.
Absolutely.
And tell them what you would like to help out with. We appreciate you taking your time this morning to be with us and talk about the issue of suicide in our community and across the country. Again, the hotline is 660-7500, 660-7500, suicide hotline. Thank you again for being with us, Tisha.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Tisha Darland, Director of Crisis and Access Services for ComCare of Sedgwick County. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.